Saturday day at the tour, Rabbi Yisrael Friedman.
Tomorrow night is Chamisha Usa B'Shvat, the 15th of Shvat. So Sadova B'Itoy, to speak about the significance of Tu B'Shvat. What is the significance? Does it have any significance? And as we're soon going to see, a gewaltig chiddush, that Tu B'Shvat is the emes, a yontif. It's a yontif. So the Chazal tell us, the Mishnah, the first Mishnah, the Masechtas Rosh Hashuna, Abur Rosh Hashunim Heim, and one of them is Rosh Hashuna Le'ilon. Machloikis, Beis Shammai holds its Rosh Chodesh Shvat, we pass the night Beis Hillel, it's on the 15th of Shvat. So this is a Mishnah. What does it mean that there's a Rosh Hashuna Le'ilon? So tell us, Chazal, you're not allowed to take trimmer in Masa from one year's produce on a previous year's produce. So when does the year start and finish? It starts and finishes on Tu B'Shvat. So you can't take from one year's produce on a different year's produce. This is a halucha in Dinei trimmer in Masa. And as far as Chazal are concerned, that seems to be the beginning and the end of Hilchas Tu B'Shvat. This is just a technical din in Hilchas Trima Imasa. Why is Tu B'Shvat the start day for a new year? So tells us the Gemara, because that's the time when already Yotzi Rov Gishmei Brucha. The majority of the rain from the winter season has already passed, and now comes the warmer days, and explains the Me'iri. So therefore, Ein Koyach HaKriris Chuzak Kolkach. It's no longer as cold as it was in the earlier parts of the winter. V'Hachanuta Hoyleches Emis Gaberes. Because it's become water, so now the plants start to grow. The Lushan of Toysis in Rosh Hashanah that he's based on a basis that it's the Reishis Semichas Apeiros. One sees after months of the plants, the trees all look dead. Now one sees they come back alive again. So this is a technical halucha in Dinei Trimas and Masas. Nothing got to do with us in our daily lives. However, we have a Beferish Machaba in Siman Tuf Kif Ayin Beis, where the Machaba speaks about a tzibah who was goyzer a tarnis for whatever reason, let's say there was no rain, or there was some other tzura, and they were goyzer a tarnis bahab, Monday, Thursday, Monday. And one of these tarnesim happens to fall out on Tu B'Shvat. And we know now is the shoivavim, there are people, especially our pikabula, who like to fast. So they fast in the days of shoivavim. So Thursday is Tu B'Shvat, but it's Shoivavim. And there are people, the Makpil, let's say, every Thursday they fast. And this Thursday is Tu B'Shvat. Are they allowed to fast? Why not? What should be the problem? Tu B'Shvat. I'm not a tree, I'm a human being. This is Haluch and Trim and Masa. Tells us the Machaber, then, Simon Tufki Fine Base. One has to be careful if one of these days fall out on Tu B'Shvat. Hatarnis Nidcha, the Tarnis is postponed. Shlo yigzri tarnis b'Tu B'Shvat shehi rosh hashuna le'ilunos. Beferish Machaber. The Mogen Avraham in the next simon, in simon Tuf Kif Ayin Gimel, tells us that a chusin who's getting married in Chodesh Nisan, we know one doesn't fast in Chodesh Nisan, tells us the Mogen Avraham, a chusin who's getting married in Chodesh Nisan does fast. Why? Because that one doesn't fast in Chodesh Nisan is only a minig, and therefore that doesn't override a chusin b'yom chipusoy. Carries on the Mogen Avraham and says these words, Aval b'Tu B'Shvat einoy mis'ana. A chusin who gets married on Tu B'Shvat is forbidden to fast, kiven shemizka b'gemura, because it's mentioned in the Gemura. These are the words of the Mogen Avraham. What's mentioned in the Gemara? I don't see any mention in the Gemara about fasting on Rosh Hashanah. Nothing, on Tu Bishvat. What does the Mugen Avraham mean? A chusn who gets married on Tu Bishvat is forbidden to fast, kiven shemizka begemura, because it's mentioned in the Gemara. It's not mentioned in the Gemara anywhere about fasting on Rosh Hashanah. Mamisha gevaldige peile. Explain the Mephoshim. The kavuna from the Mugen Avraham is Achivas Rabbeinu Geshen. Rabbeinu Geshen, he was asked, and that's the makor of this machaber, that you're not allowed to fast on Tu Bishvat. He was asked about a tzibba who were going to a Tarnis Bahab, and one of the days fell on Tu Bishvat. And he was asked, are the tzibba allowed to fast on Tu Bishvat? And he says, no. Why not? Explains Rabbeinu Geshen the following words. Because the Mishnah says, "V'tanan arbua Rosh Hashanim heim." We've learned in the Mishnah there are four Rosh Hashanahs. V'kiven diktuni lihi bahada haduda, and because they're all grouped together, arbua, there's a group of four, a set of four, dimya dahadudi ninhi. They are all compared one to the other. This Rabbeinu Geshen is quoted in the Mordechai. And the Shluach Kodesh has got a perish on the Modcha, and he explains the following. Explains the Shluach Kodesh. You might think that Tu Bishvat, like we mentioned, is just a technical din as far as Dinei Trumah Ma'aseh goes, but has no relevance for our daily lives. States in the Mishnah, there's four. Ve'im kein ma'achad dinik Rosh Hashanah ein lehis anois boy. You're not allowed to fast because ma'achad etanini bahadudi alma kahadudi nini. Explains the Shluach Kodesh. Since they are all learnt together, they are all compared one to the other, and they are similar. So since the Mishnah says that Tu Bishvat is one of the four Rosh Hashanah, it's got a din of Rosh Hashanah, and therefore you're not allowed to fast. Now the Mechaber in Siman Kif Lamed Aleph writes that we don't say Tachanun on Tu Bishvat. Writes the Vilna Gaon in Bia Hagro, why not? V'loy b'Tu Bishvat shi Rosh Hashanah li'lunos, as the Bia Hagro these words, Ikemoy kol dalad roshei shunim shehem yontuf. And like all the Rosh Hashanim which are yontuf, so therefore, since the Mishnah says, Arbua Rosh Hashanim Heim, just like Rosh Hashanah is a Yontav, Tu Bishvat is also Yontav. So the Vilna Gaon is giving us an explanation. You might wonder, why are we not saying Tachnun? Why is the Mechab Pasuk not say Tachnun? Why? It's just a regular day of the week. It's not a special day. Says the Biagru, no. Since the Mishnah says, Arbua Rosh Hashanim Heim, so it's like a Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is a Yontav. Tu Bishvat is also Yontav. So now we understand the Mugen Avraham. And the Mugen Avraham said the Chuzim are not allowed to fast. Kiven Shemizka Begemura. Because mentioned in the Gemara. What's mentioned in the Gemara? It's mentioned in the Mishnah that Tu Bishvat is classified as a Yontav like Rosh Hashanah. So Bezoi, one's not allowed to fast. So this is a halucha, forbidden to fast. Why? Because it's a Yontav. In Minhoge Maril, in Helcha Shva, tells us that not only should not fast, just the opposite. Masam chimboy seder. You should make a seder. I mean, understand, if it's yontif, you need to have a seder. In Minhoge Vamaiza, again from the Rishoinim, Oichlim v'shoisim issemeichim b'Tu Bishvat. Another chiddush. Not only Oichlim v'shoisim, issemeichim. It's a yoim simcha. And as I state in the Levish, on the Gedolei Apostkim, the early Apostkim, he says in Siman Kif Lamed Aleph, why don't we say Tachnun on Tu Bishvat? Writes Levish, because it's a Yoim Simcha. So here we have already now, Tu Bishvat is not just a regular day of the week. Tu Bishvat is considered a Yontif. Therefore, a Chuzen is forbidden to fast. Maril says, make a Seder. Minhug of a Miser, the Levish says, it's a Yom Simcha. In the Sefer Tzemach Tzedek from the Eshta Vishitzer Rebbe, he quotes in the name from his Shveh, from the Heilige Rishnas Chissin Meleini, that the Rishna said the word tzaddikim used to wear big dish Shabbos on Tubishvat. Might look a bit queer, big dish Shabbos. But if it's a yontif, if it's a yom simcha, we understand. It's not stamma day of the week. It's a special day. And the Haile Gerushin said, you know why they used to wear? Because of shteit ki ha'udam eitz hasudah. The pasuk in Parsha Shoftim says, ki ha'udam eitz hasudah, a person is compared to a tree. So said the Haile Gerushin, so since it's Rosh Hashanah le'ilam, and ha'udam eitz hasudah, therefore we need as well to act, to conduct ourselves like it's a yontif. Now this explanation of the Haile Gerushin needs a bit of elaboration, because if we look in Rashi in Parsha Shoftim, we see the Pasuk is just the opposite. The Pasuk says in Parsha Shoftim, Ki sutze el e yomim rabim lehiluchem ole letofsa. You're trying to conquer a city. It tells us the Torah, Lo sashches es eitzo lindoich ole gazu. You're not allowed to chop down the trees. Don't destroy the trees. Why not? Says the Torah, ki mimeni toichal v'oise lo sichros. You need those trees, you want to eat from them, so don't destroy them. Ki ha'udam eitz hasuda lovoi mipanecha b'mutzoi. Explains Rashi this pusik. Shema ha'udam eitz hasuda. Are the trees then a people that you should be destroying the trees? When you're going out to war, you destroy the enemies. But the trees are not your enemies. So Rashi learns the pusik Balushan Bitmiya. Shema ha'udam eitz hasuda. Are the trees people that you need to chop them down? Leave the trees alone. What have they done wrong to you? So according to Rashi, it's just the opposite. Ki ha'udam eitz hasuda isn't a statement. It's a question. Are trees then people? So what did the Haile Gerushin say? And this pusik is quoted by many, many svarim to explain the significance of Ketu B'Shat. Rashi just says the opposite pshat. However, if we look in the Ibn Ezra, we see that Ibn Ezra quotes this pshat of Rashi. He doesn't mention Rashi. He just says that there are those that learn like that, the pshat in the pusik. And writes Ibn Ezra, I don't agree with this, that this is the pshat in the pusik. Elefi dati, ein lo nitzorech b'kol zeh. V'zeh perisha, I'll tell you, says Ibn Ezra, what the pshat in the pusik is. Ki mimeni toichel v'oise tichros. Because we need to come onto the trees because we eat their fruit. Ki ha'udam eitz hasuda, because a person is compared to the tree, says Ibn Ezra. V'hatam, and the reason is, Ki chaya ben udom hi eitz hasuda. The life, our life depends on trees. We need the trees to provide food and everything else that we need the trees. So don't shepherd the trees. This Ibn Ezra is quoted in the Ramban, and he says, Yofa pirish rabavro. I agree here with the Ibn Ezra, and this is also quoted in the Torah, in the Rekeach, in Panei Chruza, that they learn this pusik kipshitoi. And similarly, we find many psikim where people, where Klal Yisrael are compared to trees. Moshe Rabbeinu in Parsha Shlach Lecha told the Meraglim, when they went into Eretz Yisrael, to check out Hayesh Bo Eitz Im Ayin. Have a look, is there a tree in Eretz Yisrael? What question is that? Rashi had Shre, of course there's trees, there's thousands, tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of trees. What was the question? Have a look, is there a tree there? Says Rashi, have a look, Im Yesh Bem Udam Kusha, Sheyugen aleihem b'schisoy. Similarly, David HaMelech tells us, Tzadik katoma yifrach ke'erez balvunoim yiske. There's a pusik in Sefer Yeshaya, Yemei ho'eitz, Yemei ami. The life of a tree, so is the life of Klal Yisrael. We are compared to trees. The Mishnah tells us in others, Chazal in many different mashulim compare us to trees. Somebody who is knowledge isn't matched by his actions. Lemohi doima says, what's he compared to? Leilon shanufav meribim v'shirusha miutem. Somebody, a tree has lots of branches, but very few roots. A wind will uproot him. The Gemara tells us in Yima that there are certain sounds which reverberate and echo across the entire world, even if we don't hear them. One of them is Kol Neshoma b'shushi yoytze min agif. When a person is nifta, and the neshama leaves his body, there goes out a sound, says the Gemara, in daf chofam abeis, which is goes from one end of the world to the other. In Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, in Pirkei Lamed Aleph, tells us the same thing is when one chops down a tree. Ilon sha'oysa peiros, a fruit tree, b'shul sha'koysim oysoi, koyla hoylech misof ho'oylam vatsoifu. We have a Gemara in Baba Basra, in daf tezvovam abeis. The Gemara tells us, you know, today, Baruch Hashem, we live in a very sophisticated world. It's no problem to pick up the phone and ask, how is so-and-so doing? Lives the other side of the world. But once upon a time, there was no communication, there was no travel, nothing. How did one know when children would grow up and would move town, move city, move country, how did one know how they were faring? Tells us the Gemara, the Ovah Pela. Rabbeinu Gershon writes as follows. People would plant trees. They would say, this tree, this is Keneged Yankel. This tree, this is Keneged Beryl. Third tree, this is Keneged Ruchel. And then the children, when they grew up and they moved off, the parents would look at the trees and see how the trees were progressing. If one of the trees wasn't growing well, it dried up. So they would know that this person, who this is his tree, obviously something has happened to him, something bad has happened to him. So we see here this Givaldi connection between people and trees. We know a baby before he's had bris mila, he's called the Ural, he's got an Ola. The same Lushan Chazal used tells us the Medrash Tanchima, Pashlecho, by trees. The first 3 years, the tree is like an Ural. The parents are all of the same Lushan that we find describing. So we see here now this Gewaldige connection between people and trees. So said the Heilige Rishna, Tobisha is Taka Rosh Hashuna Le'ilam. So you will ask, what's the Shaykhus to me? The answer is, Ki Ha'udam Eitz Hasuda. We are very, very connected to trees. And since we are so connected to trees, therefore, it's not just a technical aluch and hilchus trimmers and maaser, but has a connection to us. And therefore, it's a yontif and a special day. Because of this, the Heilige Rishna used to give bruchas on Tobishvat, he would add on a brucha like on Rosh Hashuna. He would used to say, Tuchel shuna ibechoseo. Ikfleit umvinshin shuna toive, mesika, shuna toive, merachas. The same list of habruchas was mevinshdun Rosh Hashuna. He would give on Tobishat. In fact, by many rebbes, the minig is by the tish Tobishat, they sing the yomim neruim neginim, was mezinkt. For shuna toive, mezinkt is Tobishat. And this is really written in one of the early achroinim, the Maharam Chagiz. Has got a sefer shtei halachim, and he writes kasha ha'udam eitz hasuda, because we are compared to trees. Hinhagti mashri isim raboisai, I've instituted what I saw from my rebbes and from my zaydel Maram Galanti. Shoyenoyig betubishvat laharbois bebirchas hilun. He would make many bruchas on the fruit. Would eat a lot of fruit, and this is brought down in the Mogen Avraham. One should have 15 fruit on Tobishvat. Lispalel Lashem Yisbruch, and it would daven to Hashem, Yechadesh Oleini Va'aleihem Shuna Toiva. This is what used to be Mispalel. Yechadesh Oleini Va'aleihem Shuna Toiva. So there is a minig, the Mugen Avraham quotes B'Shem Arizal, one eats fruit on Tobishvat. Now again, you might ask, why? Why do we need to eat fruit? What's it all about? Why are we eating fruit? Because, you know, it's Rosh Hashanah Lilan, and fruit comes from trees, so we want to show that we know what's going on. But it goes deeper than that. The Chalt Kivah Rebbe, in a Sefer Yismach Yisrael, quotes the Rashi, the Pusik, in Parshas Bereishis. When Hashem created the world, the whole world was finished. Abba tells us the Torah, V'cholsiach hasuda terem yeh ba'uretz. Ki lohim ta Hashem elekim al ha'uretz. Nothing was growing. Hashem created the world, but nothing grew. Why did nothing grow? Tells us the Pusik. The reason was, Because Kilohim te Hashem Elokim Alos. Hashem didn't make it rain. And since it didn't rain, nothing could grow. But why didn't it rain? Tells us the Pusik, for Udam Ayin Lavoid Waduma. Because Udam hadn't yet been created, so therefore there was no Udam. And therefore, says Rashi, Ma Tam Lehimte, the fish Udam Ayin Lavoid Saduma. Udam hadn't yet been created. Ikeshabu Udam Vyudashim Sorech La'olam. When Udam was created, and he saw how important it was, Hispalel Aleihem, he was mispalel, V'yordi v'tzom chiluls v'deshoim, and then everything started growing. Writes the Chokhtar Rebbe, what do we see from this Rashi? Hashem created the entire world, everything has been created, but it's all waiting for us to be mispalel. When we are mispalel, then everything will start moving, start raining, everything will start growing. The Gemara tells us in Masechtas Bruchas, Kol hanene min oylam azeh b'loy brucha, ki legoizul es HaKadosh Baruch Hu v'knes Yisrael. Anybody who eats something and doesn't make a brucha, he's stealing from Hashem and from Klal Yisrael. Understand, he's stealing from Hashem. Why is he stealing from Klal Yisrael? Says Rashi, because if you don't make a brucha, ha-peiros loikim. If a person doesn't make a brucha, so therefore he's causing that the peiros should be damaged. What do we see from this? We see from this, we can be surrounded by everything, but it's all dependent on us. When we make our bruchas, and we say bruchas with the kavuna, that's what infuses the world with a koyach and gives a koyach. So the child Rebbe now beautifully comes Tu B'Shvat. Tu B'Shvat is now the first day when Hasuraf Oyla Bilunas, everything is going to start regrowing. The coming year, everything starts from this day. But what gives the koyach into the fruit, into the trees to rejuvenate and to grow? It's our bruchas. So therefore, Zukhtar Rizal comes Tu B'Shvat. Take fruit and make them bruchas. Because those bruchas that we make with kavuna, that's what's giving the koyach into the world. Duzruk the maram gilanti. Because it's Tu B'Shvat, therefore one should be marbe bruchas ha'ilon and to be mispal to Rabbein Nishloilem, that they and us should have a good year. The Matan Moshe, one of the early poskim, writes, you know, when Chazal speak about bruchas, they use the lushan matbeya shel bruchas. Ask the Matan Moshe, in Simon Shin in Aleph, why do Chazal use this phrase, matbeya shel bruchas? Unusual phrase. Writes the Matan Moshe, because when a person makes bruchas with kavuna, that's how he gets his panusa. So if you want lots of matbeyos is matbeya shel brucha. According to how you make your bruchas, that's how you'll be zoicha to your matbeyos. So this is the avoider of Tu B'Shvat. Now I once heard from the Ruv, Zeicha Tzadik Levrucha, Rav Schneeberg, told me over this story, and it was by him very chushev to repeat this, because he said he heard it from a Yid who was in Chalkiv by the Alter Chalkiv Rebbe. And he liked to tell me over this story. There was a Yid who told me, he remembered even his name. His name was Rabbi Yosef Kvalenberg. A Yid from Galicia, that he was in Chalkiv by the Alter Chalkiv Rebbe, Tu B'Shvat. And the Rebbe by the Tish said over this vort, this Masa. And Rav Schneeberg heard it from him, and he told it over to me. The Alter Rebbe asked, why is it a sim? What's the Yom Simcha from Tu B'Shvat? What's the Chashivas? Okay, very nice. What's the Chashivas? The Alter Chalkiv Rebbe Gezugt are Mushal as follows. There was once a fellow who was an unbelievable Oysha. Owned unbelievable amount. Super wealthy. But then his business, unfortunately, took a turn for the worse. Slowly but surely, he started to lose everything, lost his factories, he lost his shops, everything went down and down. He had to sell this, sell that, had countless houses. He lived in a massive mansion, he had to sell this. Till eventually, Nebuch, he lost his last penny and he became a homeless vagabond. One day, this fellow, he goes to the mikveh. He takes off his clothes, he goes into the mikveh. And when he comes out, he sees somebody has walked off with his trousers. He's got no trousers to put on. So he's standing there, Nebuch, naked, just come out of the mikveh. And he's got no trousers put on. This was somebody who was a a multi-millionaire. He stands there and he starts dancing. So people thought, Nebuch, he's in ganzen Meshigge geworden. Look at him, Nebuch. He's standing there naked, got no trousers put on, and what's he dancing for? So they asked him, what's going on? He said, no, I'm not Meshigge. I know exactly what I'm doing. He said, over the last years, my muzzle has gone down, down, down. Every single day has been nochalos and nochalos. I've now hit rock bottom. I've got nothing left to lose. It seems now that can only go up. So therefore, I'm dancing because Baruch Hashem, I know I can't lose anything more. I've got nothing left to lose. From now on, it's going to be, and Baruch Hashem, we're going to go up. The Alter Chartgeber says, comes winter. Winter, everything looks dark, gloomy. The trees lose all their leaves. They look like they're dead. They're just trunks of wood sticking out there, dark and trunks of wood. They look as dead as can be. It's taka true, that's what they look like. It comes to Bishwa, tells us Chazal, Hasuraf Oyle Be'ilunois. Something starts to take place, something starts to move. And then you notice the little tiny buds on the trees, it starts to blossom. And then after a few months, you see the pears are coming out. Today is the day when we've hit the rock bottom, and now Hasuraf Oyle Be'ilunois, we're starting to climb. This is the Gewaldige Simcha. And this is a chizik for every yid. He shouldn't give up hope. He shouldn't despair. Ki ha'udom eitz hasuda. We need to look ourselves like the trees, just like the trees in the middle of the winter. They look like, well, they need to be chopped down. They're dead. No, no, they're not dead at all. Just wait. You see, it's going to come back to life. Ki ha'udom eitz hasuda. And simli yamei hu eitz yamei ami. This is a story of Klal Yisrael. Klal Yisrael is in a bitter agulis, and sometimes we feel a bit mekenshinish. We don't know what to do, but sanish tazoi, everything will start to go up. The Eshte Behusha Rebbe said over this yisod, and he explained this beautifully, why in the Bruchas and the Toichocha in Parshas Kisovoi, we find a different lushan. By the Bruchas, it's written, Voyisa rak lemala, veloisiyah lemata. That's the Brucha. Klal Yisrael is going to be Rak Lamala V'loisiyah Lamata. And the Teichocha is written, Hageh Asher Bekir Becho Yalo Alecho Male Male. By the Goyim, when they have Atzlocha, it's written twice Male. By us, it's only written the Brucha V'yisa Rak Lamala. By the Goyim, the Teichocha, Hageh Asher Bekir Becho Yalo Alecho Male Male. V'ato teired, mato, mato. Ot gefreit der erste Pusik Rebbe. Why does the Pusik say, by the Brucha, we're only going to be lemala, and we're not going to be lemata. And by the Tachucha, by the Kalulas Chas V'Shulim, the Goy is going to be lemala, lemala, and we're going to be Chas V'Shulim, lemata, lemata. Why? He said, this one, it's a hidden Brucha. When a person gets lemala, lemala, to the highest that he can climb, it's a galgal achoyza, starts going down. So the brocha is, we should be lemala, but not lemala, lemala. We should always be so high, but not the top. So therefore, we don't have to worry that we're going to go down. Veloisiyah lemata. But by the klulas, shteit, Hagoya shebeki b'cho yal lecho mala la mala. They're going to go to the mala mala. When they're going to go to the Mala Mala, oh, so then there's a hidden brucha, they're going to come down. And similarly, we're going to be Mata Mata. When we're Mata Mata, like the you come out the mikveh, then we're going to start going up. So this is the avoider of Tu B'Shvat. Finish off with one final story, a Maaseh from the Heilige Rishna, a Maaseh Pelah. The Bnei Yisoscha writes, the why do Chazal use this lushan that Tu B'Shvat is Rosh Hashanah le'ilon? It should say le'ilu nois. What's le'ilon for the tree? Zug the Bnei Yisoscha, kibalti m'raboisai, this is a remez for the esrog. What's the chushevste ilon? Esrog, we have to become Mitzvah Deraisa. On Tu B'Shvat, a person should be mespalo, that should be zoicha to a gita esrog. There's an unbelievable story, which is in a Sefer Nesivos Refuah. It was written by one of the original Chassidim 150 years ago. And he writes, he heard the story from the Baal HaMaaseh. There was a Yid who was a chassid from Remotel Chernobyl. And he happened to be in Vienna, in Chodesh Elul. Now, the Esroigim, which they would bring into Eastern Europe, they would bring them from Esrul or Morocco or Corfu, wherever, they would bring them by ship to Vienna. And from Vienna, they would go then with horse and cart to the various towns and cities across Eastern Europe. And he was there in Vienna. And he thought, oh, a ship had just arrived with a consignment of Esroigim. So he said, you know, I'm here, Mamish. I'm going to go quickly and get an esrog from my Rebbe, Remotel Chernobyl. So he went there to the esrog soicher. He chose a very expensive esrog for 50 rubles, a fortune of money. And he went back, and he was already sitting on the wagon to leave, when he suddenly thought, you know what, I have to bypass Rizhin on the way to go to Chernobyl. I'm going to quickly go and get an esrog for the Rizhin as well. He didn't have time to choose a nice esrog because the guy wanted to go already. So I'm coming back in 5 minutes. Quickly ran there to the esrog soicher. I said, do me a favor, give me another esrog. For 50 rubles? No, not 50. It's not for my Rebbe. 10 rubles will suffice. He didn't have time to look at it. Took a box, grabbed him, gave him the 10 rubles, and off he came. Off he went. Sitting in the wagon, he says, he opens his box to see what esrog did he buy for 10 rubles. And he sees, wow, such a yoifi of an esrog. It's even more mehidda than the expensive one for 50 rubles. He thought to himself, you know what? The 10 ruble esrog, I'm going to give that to my Rebbe, Remotel Chernobyl. The 50 ruble esrog, I'll give that to the Rizhna. He goes to the Rizhna, he comes in, it's on the way to Chernobyl, and he says to the Rebbe, I brought the Rebbe a matuna for Yontif, an esrog, and he gives him the esrog. The Rizhna takes the esrog, he looks at it, he said, this is not my esrog. He said, what does the Rebbe mean? No, this is not my esrog. The guy said, no, the Rebbe, how much I paid for this esrog? 50 rubles. My esrog didn't cost 50 rubles. Do you have another esrog with you? He said, yeah, I do, but it's a cheaper one. I paid only 10 rubles for it. I want to see it. Brings it, looks at it. This is my esrog. So the Yid asks, Rebbe, what do you mean? That's not your esrog and this is your esrog. Said the Rishon, an unbelievable thing. On Tov B'Shvat, I davened to the Rabbeinu Shlomo should be zoicha to Shina Esrog. And I was shown then my Esrog, which I'm going to get. And I recognized my Esrog. That first Esrog you showed me wasn't the Esrog I was shown. The second Esrog, this was the Esrog which I was shown. So I knew which one was mine and which one wasn't mine. This is what the Heilige Rishon told me. This Yid left with the Esrog. When he went on to Chernobyl, he told him about Chernobyl what had happened, and he apologized. And what Chernobyl told you, don't have to apologize. Wer kann sich zustellen zu der Heilige Rishon? Who can compare himself to the Heilige? We can't compare. So we see here from this story, unbelievable, that comes Rosh Hashanah le'ilon, Rabbi Shem decides which person is going to get which Esrog. And this is a time to daven for Gitta Peiros, and the story which takes Gitta Peiros meant Och Gitta Kinder, and everything else that goes with it, and Panus and Gezind. So the Rabbi Shem Taka Helfen, Yechadesh, Uleini, Valeim, Shunatoivim, Mevarachas, Omen Ken Yerutzayim.
Amen.